Each and every one tonight, and we do give everyone a warm welcome and their service in the name of the Lord. Let us turn in our Bibles tonight to 1 Peter and chapter 1 verse 18 and 19, and these is two tremendous portions of scripture tonight to preach about the blood. And I want to preach on redemption by blood tonight. Praise God. And I know that all these things is familiar to us, but we should never let them become familiar, because they're so true. Amen. Let's read then verse 18 and 19, 1 Peter chapter 1. For as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things of silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. Heavenly Father, we just bow before thee this evening in the matchless name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank thee for this great privilege that we can come to thy word and take strength and courage and see that we're redeemed by blood. Lord, we thank you for the power of the blood tonight. I plead the merits of that precious blood upon each and every life in this house tonight, upon all that's near and dear to us. We plead the merits of the blood of the Lamb of God tonight. And I pray that the Holy Spirit will be in our meeting tonight. I ask that you'll help this preacher to preach, and you'll help your people to hear. And oh God, that you'll get all the praise and all the glory, and that lives will be touched and needs met for the glory of God. In Jesus' precious name. Now, Lord, I take the promised Holy Ghost to help me. And I thank you, Lord, you do undertake for me. In Jesus' precious name. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Praise God. I think this is a tremendous scripture for to preach on the blood of Jesus, the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Redemption by blood. I want to say from the very start of the meeting that there is redemption by no other way. We can't come to God without the blood. We can't have our sins forgiven without the blood. I was reading over the old notes that I had when I preached on the 10 impossibilities of the blood of Christ perished. And I remember the first time that I preached that, and I studied for it, it's quite a few years ago now. And I believe God really spoke to me when I preached that message. And I've seen a lot of people saved in Africa and in England. In one service in England, in Manchester, there was 10 young fellas came to Christ that night for salvation when I preached on the blood. And I tell you, when you preach on the blood of Jesus Christ, you can expect people to get saved. And if you are saved, you can expect to be encouraged.
Yes.
Because the devil wants to stifle God's people. We heard this morning the paralysis of our faith by the devil. And then we saw the recipe God gave us. How we can overcome that paralysis. God gave us the tools to overcome. Praise God. And this precious blood of Christ tonight is also a tool. Because we read in Revelation, they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. The effects of the blood are clear in the Word of God. Now, there's six things I want to say here at the start, what the blood will do. The blood gives you reconciliation. The blood gives you cleansing. The blood gives you sanctification. The blood gives you victory over Satan. The blood gives you union with God. And the blood gives you life. For the life is in the blood. Amen. That's the thing the blood does for you. And the blood of Jesus is absolutely unique. We believe in the virgin birth tonight. And I believe we're not saved if we don't believe in the virgin birth. You have to believe in the virgin birth to be saved. And we believe in the virgin birth of Jesus Christ. That Jesus Christ was born of a virgin. A supernatural act of God. As reading also in other notes on that. Boys, I have some notes over the years when you preach so much. And you know, over the years. Now, they're not all good. I have notes and I burn them. I'm but honest about it. I know people would say, oh, my notes is great. Well, I believe they're lying. I believe there's messages God gives you, and you know He gives you, and then there's other ones that are maybe not so good. It's like hitting a home run, isn't it? But you know, I was reading, and I had a writ down there about the book that the nurses get and the doctors get, and they study about the blood. And at the pages, and all wrote down in it. I read it here maybe some time ago when I preached about the chemistry of the blood. How many remembers when I preached about the chemistry of the blood? But when you read that, you see the blood, the mother's blood doesn't go into the child to make the child live and all that. That child's blood comes from his father. Now the whole thing about it is, you see, it's just to prove, it's just to say that Mary had no claim on anything. It was God that done it. The Holy Spirit overshadowed the Virgin Mary and she conceived. And the child Christ Jesus was born. And here's the mystery of it. Mary was still a virgin after Jesus was born. I want you to get this tonight. How many believes that when I'm preaching? That's the truth, you know. She never knew a man. I think it was her brother John might have mentioned it a few weeks ago. And he read the scripture where Joseph was going to put her away. An angel said, fear not to take Mary unto you to wife. That holy thing which is born of her, the child Christ Jesus. The only betrothed, they weren't even married. But I tell you, it was God's doing. See, six separate blessings here, and all are included in the one phrase, redemption by blood. We must understand the blessing to have the full power of redemption in our lives. And when you understand the blessing of the blood, you will understand the full blessing of the full power in your life. Now, the most unique thing is where the blood comes from. I'm going to get to it in a moment or two. I won't jump the gun tonight. Firstly, where does this power lie? Where does the power lie? Secondly, what has the power accomplished? I tell you, you could preach a sermon on that there alone, couldn't you? And thirdly, how can we experience its effect? Where does the power lie? What has it accomplished? And how can we experience its effects? These are the things we need to know about the phrase redemption by blood. You know the word of self-redemption. One of the best sermons I ever heard preached on redemption was a fellow called David Henry. This is right in the middle. Big David Henry. Big lump of a man. I remember it as well. I can hear him preaching now. You still hear him preaching now. Yes, do you ever hear a man preaching 20 years later, you can still hear him preaching the message. How many knows what I'm talking about? That's the Holy Ghost. But David Henry preached over there at the wheat roof and all burned off at Nye over there. Let it there. The roof and all, the building, don't even know if the building's there, but there was a wee place. He went up and around a wee place and in there and he preached that night about redemption. Redeemed. And when you redeem something, you buy it. And Jesus Christ redeemed us with His blood. That's how valuable His blood is. That's how important His blood is. He redeemed us with His blood. There was nothing else could redeem us. Because all other blood was contaminated blood. Congealed blood. Corrupted blood. But the blood of Jesus.
Jesus never congealed. The blood of Jesus never corrupted, because it was pure, sinless blood. Amen. Christ's blood's different than any other blood. You know why? Here's the key. Here's what gives it its punch, its strength. Death had no claim on him.
You want to hear that now?
Death had no claim on Jesus. Death had a claim on Buddha. Death has a claim on Muhammad. Death has a claim on the Pope of Rome. Death has a claim on every single man you want to name to me tonight. Death has a claim upon them. But death had no claim on Jesus. But Jesus took on death, and he stepped into that willingly, so that we could have redemption by blood.
Oh, thank God for tonight. Where does this power lie? If a brother looks up Leviticus 17 verse 11, you'll see that the life of the flesh is in the blood. I hear so much negative talking about the blood over the years. But you can't change God's word. And God's word says the life of the flesh is in the blood. For the life of the flesh is in the blood. The value of the blood corresponds to the value of the life.
Now I want you to think of this at the moment. We're not thinking about your life, and we're not thinking about my life when we take this phrase tonight. But we're thinking of the value of the life of this blood we're preaching about. And the value of the life of this blood, there's no other life like this life, because this is Jesus Christ's blood. This is the one that was from the beginning of time. This is the one that was slain from the foundations of the world. This is the one that came into the world to seek and to save that which is lost. His blood superior to any other blood, because it's God's own blood. It's not Gentile blood. It's not Jewish blood. It's God's blood. And there's nothing at the value in it as this blood. That's why our scripture opening tonight from Peter calls it the precious blood of Jesus. And that's what you're redeemed by tonight. You're not redeemed by someone that's cheap or someone that's nothing. But Jesus gave his life for you. He died on the cross for you. And you're redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. He's bought you back. The devil owned you. The devil ruled us. The devil domineered us. And he tried his best to damn us. But Jesus Christ redeemed us with his precious blood, and he's brought us back. Oh, I want you to see for this pair of lives tonight. Come with me for a moment on a wee journey in our Bibles. Let us go to Matthew first of all. These are not even in my notes, but I'm not worried about notes. Let us go to Matthew 26 tonight and verse 28. And let's just take these few scriptures to get a real hold of this. Matthew 26 and verse 28. For this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. I want you to see the value of this blood tonight. This blood is for the remission of sins for many.
Amen.
It's not just for the one or two, but my Bible records there's a number coming out of tribulation.
Amen.
With the robes white, washed in the blood of the Lamb. A number that no man can number.
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, but we're the bride. Well, that's good. They might be, but they shall see it.
Amen. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Lord. I tell you tonight, this blood's to save many.
Yes, amen.
Do you think the bride can come in without this blood? She can't.
No, amen.
If she is the bride, she's came by the blood. Brother Branham clearly says there's no other way, only by the blood of Jesus Christ for the remission of many. Now get this thought in your mind, where's the power lie? In the man it's coming from. The power lies in the one that's coming from. The life is in the blood. So when you look at the life of Jesus, that's for the power ease that's in this blood. This is a man that could walk on the water. This is a man that could speak to the winds and it's calm. This is a man that could feed 5,000 with a boy's lunch. This This is a man that could cleanse a leper. This is a man that could open the blinded eyes. This is a man that even when he went back to heaven, he sent the Holy Ghost to continue the work. This is the man we're talking about tonight. And I tell you, it's his blood. It's precious blood. Hebrews 9:22, and I can almost quote it to you because I love the book of Hebrews. Hebrews 9:22 says, and almost all things are by the law purged with blood. And without the shedding of blood, there's no remission. I tell you, where there's no blood, there's no cleansing. Where there's no blood, there's no forgiveness. This is why redemption's only by blood. There's no redemption by water baptism. What do you get that? Water baptism is a good thing. Water baptism is a sign of obedience. Water baptism won't save you. It's the blood of Jesus that saves. I tell you, we need to be back on the foundation of the Word of God. For there's a lot of goats about today that are trying to lead God's sheep astray. And you know, the goat goes up the walkway and the sheep follow him. Then he jumps out and the sheep go on to the slaughter. But we have a real shepherd tonight. And the shepherd we have tonight loves the sheep. And the shepherd we have tonight gives us life for the sheep. I want you to see in the Epistle of John as well. The Epistle of John, and I can quote it as well. Epistle of John chapter 1 verse 7, it says that we walk in the light. He is in the light. We have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. The blood. You see, the thing that gives you the power. Hear me now. Want you to get this. The thing that gives you power in your Christian life is a clear conscience. Want you to get that. If you never have a clear conscience, you have no power. If you never have a clear conscience, you have no rest, you have no peace. You're troubled. You're in fear. You're in bondage. You know, the Bible says that they weren't complete without us, speaking of the Old Testament. And then it says something more. The Old Testament says the Old Testament blood covered sin. Covered it. But it never took it away. They had to re-offer. So there had to be a remembrance made again each year in the Old Testament for to cover the sin for another year. But Jesus Christ was offered up once for all. And not only did the blood of Jesus Christ forgive sin, but your New Testament tells you it clears your conscience. It clears your conscience. I tell you, that's something, isn't it? It clears your conscience. That means you can rest in peace. Redemption by blood. Clears your conscience. Doesn't matter what you've done. All of us was guilty. But forget about all of that tonight. Your conscience is clear. Your slate's clean. The blackboard's wiped clean. And the Lord says this here. Thy sins and thy iniquities I will remember no more. For they are cast away into the sea of God's forgetfulness. Thank God for the blood tonight.
Amen.
Now there's many more scriptures you could read in Leviticus 4. Leviticus 4 is all about when they made a mistake, they had to go and make an offering. It's just to show you how it had to be done. But I'm going to miss a bit of it tonight just for the sake of time. The life, man is more valuable than the life of an animal, you know that. You see, for you to be redeemed, there had to be a life what was superior than the bully. There had to be a life that was superior than the natural lamb or the goat or the turtle dove or the pigeon. And that life that was superior to any other life was the life of Jesus Christ. And the life was in the blood. You know, William Branham's the only preacher
And I've read a lot of stuff and listened to a lot of things over the years, and I'm sure some of you have as well. But he made a tremendous statement. It's a profound statement. It's a revelation. He said, when the first blood shed broke, when the first drop of blood, when the first blood shed broke on the cross, the life of God was released back to the church. Then he came and he preached that message called the token. Because the life's in the blood. And it's more than a chemistry. We believe in the chemistry, but it's more than a chemistry. That life's the Holy Spirit. That's the quickening power. That's the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead. That quickening power was released when the blood cell broke. Released that you could have it. Released that I could have it. So that the same power that raised Jesus from the dead could come on you and me and quicken these mortal bodies. Amen. That's why the blood cell broke. That the life of God could be released back to God's people. So that the work would continue what Jesus began. I tell you, God wants to continue His work tonight. In Acts 20 and verse 28, when you turn to Acts 20 and verse 28, take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost have made you overseers, to feed the church of God, which He hath purchased with His own blood. Jesus Christ has purchased. He has bought you. He has bought and paid for me with His own blood. I tell you, the blood of Jesus Christ to me is priceless. Can you get what I'm saying tonight? There's nothing I can put to value the value in any other thing like I put the value on the blood of Jesus Christ, because it paid for you and it paid for me. Therefore it's priceless. Yeah. That's why I take, you know, when somebody belittles the blood, it's the devil.
Yes.
Not put men and women of God. That's the devil. And somebody tells you we don't need the cross no more. We've now bypassed the cross. We don't need the cross no more, and we don't need the blood no more. We have moved on. We're a word bride. We don't need them things no more. Well, I believe we are a word bride. But I believe we're bought by the blood of Jesus. But we could not be no word bride or none of that what claims as me, apart from the blood. You can't put the word first. It's the blood first. You can't even have a Pentecost till you have a Calvary. The blood is the first message. The blood is the most important message.
Yes.
The blood is a doctrine that runs through the whole Bible.
Yes.
God started this, you know. For He sacrificed an animal in the Garden of Eden, and He gave Adam and Eve coats, so He had to kill an animal to get them dressed. How many knows that's the Bible? Then we have Cain and Abel, and Abel offered a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, a bleeding lamb, a type of Christ. How many remembers when I preached the comparisons and the contrast? Abel and Christ both were shepherds. Both were shepherds of sheep. But one of them had his blood shed against his will. Abel was slain against his will. Abel didn't say, here, I'll give the life. His brother murdered him against his will. But the Lamb of God gave his life freely. The comparison and the contrast. Both had blood shed. One gave his life willingly. The other one was taken off him by force.
Nobody took Jesus' life, no. Jesus Christ said, I have power to lay my life down, I have power to take it up again.
Praise God. Jesus led on the altar of Calvary. God is satisfied, and our sins can be forgiven and forgotten. Forgiven and forgotten. Taken away from the memory of God. Christ's blood was infinite in value and power. Therefore, the atoning virtue of his blood was infinite also. Christ paid the penalty for sin by shedding his blood. He fulfilled the law, and God was satisfied and glorified in the blood of Christ. There is power to receive from the blood like no other power. Are you hearing me? Come back to the thought of the token. When the blood shed broke, the life was released. That's the power of God. Why do you think the Holy Spirit can come in people? Because the blood shed broke. Oh, I tell you, it's wonderful. It blesses me. I don't care how often I hear it or whatever. Still a blessing. What is the power accomplished? What is this power? That's my second thought. What is it? What has that power accomplished? Now I tell you about who it came from. And you could spend the whole time, you know, you could take the man himself. How many of you remember when I preached on the greatest of all Bible men? And you know it was Jesus Christ. He was the greatest of all Bible men. There was nobody else like him. And you know the greatest thing about him was he had no sin. That's what sets him apart from the rest. He had no sin. Death had no claim on him. That's why he could take it on. For me and you. What's this power accomplished? Well, in Hebrews 13 verse 20, I'll tell you what it accomplished. It opened the graves. Hebrews 13 verse 20. This power of the blood opened the graves. How the God of peace had brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus Christ, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant. The graves were opened because the blood was shed. Not only was the graves open, not only is the tomb empty, not only is the cross empty, not only is Jesus Christ arisen, but in Matthew 27 and 52, there's others raised as well. You can call it a rapture, whatever you want to call it. The word rapture means caught up, so maybe it's not really in that sense, but the graves were open anyhow. And the Old Testament saints arose. Let's turn in the Word of God and see it. Let's go back to Matthew 27. Matthew 27 and verse 52. And the graves were open. And many bodies of the saints which slept arose. That's what the blood did. That's what the power of the blood did. I want you to see this tonight. The power of the blood of Jesus opened the graves. Now the power of the blood of Jesus opened the graves. The Old Testament saints arose. Whether we live or whether we die, we're the Lord's. We belong to the Lord tonight. The Lord has paid for us, for he's bought us with his own blood. And you know, a little child or someone that's below the age of understanding, you know that they're redeemed. How many knows that? You know they're redeemed. They're paid for. They're in heaven. That's what the Bible teaches. They're redeemed. Isn't that wonderful? See, I don't agree with Pope Rome. The Catholic doctrines are in purgatory and limbo land. I want to tell you tonight, there's no limbo with the Bible. There's heaven or hell. And thank God we're redeemed by blood, the precious blood of Jesus. And the graves were opened.
And I tell you, one day again, the graves are going to open again. 1 Thessalonians 4:16. For the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout and with the voice of the archangel, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up or thrust up to meet them in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Then if you go on over to Corinthians 15 and I think it's verse 52, it says, this corruptible shall put on incorruption, this mortal shall put on immortality. Then shall be brought to pass the saying, O death, where's thy sting? O grave, where's thy victory? Why? Because of the blood. That's what the blood's accomplished. The graves are open because Jesus Christ has redeemed you. And even if your body goes to the grave, He's coming back for you. The soul goes on to be with the Lord. But the Lord is going to raise bodies out of the grave and people of this earth, and we're going to be changed. Glory to God. Oh, I was thinking the day, you know. I went up in the room the day and I was thinking about two messages preached before. One of them is called The Miracle of the Lord's Return. The miracle of the Lord's return. It's a miracle. You know, the world's not waiting on Christ coming tonight. And a whole lot of Christians are not waiting either. Some's going to be caught up and some's going to be caught on. Don't you want to be caught up? Taken. Two shall be in the field. The one shall be taken. The other left. Two shall be grinding. The one shall be taken. The other will be left. The Lord's going to take it. Isn't that something? We're going to go. Because we've been bought. We're not our own. The Lord owns us. You're the Lord's tonight. Now if you're the Lord's and I'm the Lord's, then the Lord loves you. I want you to know the Lord really loves you. I want you to see that. Through the virtue of the blood of Christ, raised up. Remember the life of the blood. And the life, Zoe. God's own life. That's the Greek word for it, Zoe. It means God's own life was released. Romans 8 and 11. And you go to Romans 8 and 11. Romans 8 and 11 says, but if the Spirit of Him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwells in you, He that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by His Spirit that dwelleth in you. The Spirit can come in you because of the blood. The blood's been shed. The life of God's been released. The Holy Spirit's already been poured out. Do you know that tonight? The Holy Spirit's been poured out. You can receive it. Because it's been poured out. Amen? Now we would pray that God would pour it out and give us more again. We believe that. More of it. That same Spirit. Amen? You know Jesus plundered hell. This phrase, you've heard me using this a lot of times. You know where I got this from? Reinhard Bonnke. That's where I got this phrase from. Plundering hell to populate heaven. Isn't that some statement? I think it's wonderful. Only an evangelist could have made it. Amen. But the Lord plundered hell that He might populate heaven. He took the keys of death, hell, and the grave off the devil. Took them off of me, stripped them. Like we heard this morning, rendered them ineffective. He went down to hell and made a way out of the grave for every believer by the power of His blood. Christ dealt with original sin because He was born without original sin. The second Adam, the Lord from heaven. 1 Corinthians 15 verse 47 says, 1 Corinthians, the first man is of the earth, earthly. The second man's the Lord from heaven. I tell you, we're working with someone that's powerful. Not only does Christ's blood open the grave, but it also opens heaven.
Hebrews 9:12. What's Hebrews 9:12 say? Here it is. It was said unto her, the elders shall serve the younger. Maybe I wrote the wrong scripture down. But anyhow. Neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood, he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained. Now, if you obtain something, it's yours. You want to get that? If you obtain it, it's yours. Jesus Christ obtained eternal redemption for us. Do you know why? Because God accepted him. God accepted the offering of Christ. And because God accepted the offering of the blood of Christ, Jesus Christ obtained eternal. That's not a weak revival. Or a week when you don't feel seen, that's eternal. That's eternal redemption. That's why you're here, and when you leave this seat of time, you're redeemed for all eternity. I thank God for that tonight. Nothing else could do that but the blood of Jesus Christ. Having obtained eternal redemption for us. We know that in the Old Testament tabernacles, God manifested presence, his presence inside the veil. The high priest alone can enter in there, but only with the blood could he enter in, or he would lose his own life. He couldn't go in without blood. And you know, I've preached on that. You know what I'm talking about when I talk about the Old Testament tabernacle. You know, you have the outer court, the inner court, and the holiest of holies and so forth. But he went into the holy place, then the holiest of holies, but he could not go in without blood. If he tried to go in without blood, he was a dead man. But if God accepted him and he went in with blood, he could take in there a sacrifice and he could make an offering for God's people. But Jesus Christ went into heaven itself and he obtained eternal redemption for me and you. You know, that was a picture of the power of sin in the flesh. What separates us from God, the eternal righteousness of God, guarded the entrance to the most holy place, so that no flesh might approach him. Now Christ appears in heaven for us, our high priest. We may now enter in boldly. You don't need another priest. But the Bible says you are made kings and priests unto God. Revelation tells us that. We have one priest that represents us. That's Jesus Christ. Amen. Jesus Christ is not off after the order of the other priesthood, but the Bible says he is off a superior priesthood. For he is off the order of Melchizedek, who have no beginning of days or ending of days, without ascent, without descent, without father, and without mother. Jesus Christ, in other words, is before all things. Where do you read that? Revelation says he is from the beginning and the end. He's not, look, the first and the last, it says, doesn't it? The beginning of the creation of God. All things are made by him and for him, and without him isn't anything made that's made. That's what Christ done for us with his own blood. Now moving on tonight, I've loads of scriptures here, but I'm not going to give you them all. Redemption begins in a true deliverance from the life of sin. The blood was that awaited so powerfully in heaven and over hell is all powerful in sinners' hearts. It is impossible for us to think too highly or expect too much from the power of the blood of Jesus Christ. There's nothing you can expect that's too much of it can do anything. There's power in the blood of Jesus Christ far beyond what you could ever think or dream. I was thinking of a man when I came in the meeting tonight. And he used to give a lot of tracts out for me, and he was a good friend of mine some years. So I'm sure it's a long time since I've seen him. But he went to hear a man preaching, and the man preached on the blood. And he said he thought his head wasn't right.
Because every night he went, he preached on the blood. But that man got saved. And not only did he get saved, God used him. And I couldn't tell you the amount of tracts that we man's give out. And the things he's done. Because of the power of the blood. You look at your own life tonight, where you were. If I look at my life, where I was, it's only the power of the blood that turned it around and cleared my conscience. Now here's my last thought. How does this power work? Does the power of the blood produce so many unhindered results in our lives through faith? Romans 10:17. Romans 10:17. So then faith cometh by hearing, and by hearing the word of God. Your faith can come to you now because of the blood. You say, but it's come before it. No. Only after the blood came. After the blood came. God gives you faith to believe, doesn't he? For by grace through faith are you saved. That of yourselves. No. That not of yourselves. It's a gift to God. God does it. Faith cometh by hearing, so we need to hear what the blood can do. Our sin is pardoned because of the blood of Christ. God's blood is like God's word. It is inexhaustible. Just as we have to wash our bodies, we must bathe in the blood by the washing of the water of the word. We must bathe in the blood of Jesus Christ. I like the story about the bar soap that the evangelist told on television. They asked him in the television program, but they didn't set up, but they never told him that. But that's always dangerous to do that, my man of God, because you could get caught out. But they had an old atheist in the room, and he had all the questions ready. And it was Reinhard Bonnke again. And they said, Bonnke, you're always preaching about the blood of Jesus. You know, there's nobody probably preached the blood more than Bonnke. How many knows that? He said, Africa will be blood washed. That was his vision. But he said, you're always preaching about the power of the blood. You're always preaching about Africa will be washed in the blood of the Lamb. And he says, now this blood is so powerful. How come there's murderers and adulteries and they just named everything. It could go wrong in the world and named them. Don't you get that all the time? Why did God let this happen? Why did God let something else happen? And God's blatant everything, isn't it? Why did God? Fella said something to me the other day, and I wouldn't even come over it, but he said something to me the other day about God. And he shouldn't have said it. He getting drunk, you know. You have to be very careful what you say. You might think you're smart, but I tell you God's real. But he put all this question to him, and he thought he had Bunky stifled, and Bunky said he was praying and he asked the Holy Spirit to answer. And he said to him, now, well, it's like this. Says, if I go down to the shop and buy a bar of soap. He says, I am the possessor of a bar of soap. I can take the bar of soap, put it in the bathroom, put it in the bath, do whatever I want with the bar of soap. I've got the bar of soap, but the bar of soap won't clean me until I wash in it. I must apply the soap to be clean. And the blood of Jesus Christ must be applied. And I thought that was a wonderful statement. And I remember preaching from the Old Testament one time myself. And I was preaching where they put the blood in the basin. How many knows what I'm talking about? When God said to them that he needed to see the token. And they took the scarlet wool, the wool, the hyssop. But first of all, they sacrificed the lamb and they put the blood in the basin. Now when they put the blood in the basin, the mother of the house could see it, the father of the house could see it. That was all good, but it was no use in the basin. The blood had to be applied. Now we must apply this blood. And a brother John made a powerful statement when he prayed Wednesday night. He said that I place between them and the enemy the blood of Jesus Christ. That's the words that a prophet of God said. He said, if you're ever in trouble, he says, take by faith. Jesus. And place the blood by faith between you and the enemy. And the blood will speak for you, because of the blood in a chemistry form in Exodus could speak for Israel. How much more speaketh the blood of Jesus Christ?
Amen.
Who offered himself through the eternal spirit.
Amen.
Without spot to God.
I'll tell you, it'll speak for you. It'll speak for you.
Praise God. I'm going to close tonight. I don't want to hold these too long. I tell you, there's power in the blood of Jesus. Redemption by blood. Now, I know you know these things, but I believe it's good for us to hear them again. You know, many times as Christians we don't do it. We pray first. I like to listen to people praying, because you know, sometimes people, they're not really praying. They're not praying right. You say, brother, what do you mean? You have to watch how you're praying. There's a way to pray. There's a way to approach God. God doesn't need you to preach him a sermon. He knows them all. Now, I believe you can quote the word of God and remember God of his word. That's scriptural. How many knows that? You can remind God of his word when you're praying. Lord, you said, that's scriptural. But we need to come by the blood of the Lamb when we're praying. That's God's provided way. God's provided way is through the blood of his son, Jesus. We can only come into his presence because of that blood. And I tell you, whether we are out through the day, whether we're having a hard time, whatever's taking place, we can come through the blood of the Lamb. And God's prophet said, if you've fallen short, he said, the blood lays there for you. It lays there for you. And the Lord will cleanse you every time. Lays there for you. It's not wonderful. This blood's not just to save us, you know. This blood doesn't just save us, but it keeps us while we're here. And we can come and plead the blood on our lives. Plead it on our families. Plead it on our loved ones. And plead it over a child when they're sick. Over a mother when they're sick. Or a father when they're sick. We can plead the virtue of this blood. And I tell you, the Spirit will answer to the blood. It'll answer to it. Let's stand to our feet tonight. Let's just close our eyes before the Lord tonight. You ever need you just to pray before God? The devil's a liar. The Lord has paid the price. Don't let the enemy paralyze your feet. You paralyze him. Use the greatest weapon that God's given the church, that's the blood of the Lamb. The overcame by the blood of the Lamb. Heavenly Father, we plead the precious blood of the Lamb tonight. We plead the blood of the Lamb over this house. We plead the blood of the Lamb over every mother, every father, over every boy, every girl, every man and every woman. In this house tonight, we plead the blood of the Lamb of God. We plead the blood of the Lamb over our sons, over our daughters, over grandchildren, over all that's near and dear to us. We plead the blood of the Lamb. We rebuke the enemy over their lives tonight. And we say, Satan, the Lord rebuke you.
Yes,
Father, we just ask that you'll strengthen your people tonight.
Yes,
encourage my sister. Encourage my brother. Touch them, I pray, from the crown of their head to the soles of their feet. Father, take your word this evening. Let your word do something within us tonight. Lord, if you don't quicken it, it means nothing. But Lord, you promised that it pleased you through the foolishness of preaching to see him.
Lord, I pray that someone that's sent tonight will help somebody.
Yes.
Jesus' precious name. Lord, if some man or woman would ever get a hold of this message, and they've never come to that fountain drawn from Emmanuel's veins, where sinners plunge beneath the floods, lose all their guilty stains. Oh, may the Holy Spirit draw them. May the Holy Spirit woo them. And may the Holy Spirit bring them to the saving knowledge of the truth. Oh, Lord, we're glad this evening for the day in our lives when you cleared our conscience. Oh, the devil tried to domineer us. But we thank you that you broke the fetters and you set us free by the power of your blood. Lord, I know the devil doesn't want the blood preached. But I pray you'll help this preacher to preach about the blood of Jesus Christ. Lord, I thank you this evening for giving me the strength to preach on your blood. Father, I pray as we go tonight that we may think upon these things, what you've done for us, that you've redeemed us. You've given us, you've inherited an eternal redemption for every one of us tonight. Father, we do give you all the praise. We do give you all the glory. We say we love you, Lord Jesus, because you first loved us. Lord, you hold the very breath we breathe. We can't live without you, Lord. Father, we thank you for breath tonight. We thank you for every good and perfect gift that cometh down from above, from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. For you are truly the same yesterday, today, and forever. Father, I ask this evening that people will go out different than they came in. The Lord, a new strength will come upon your people. Lord, that they'll have victory in areas they never had victory before. That you'll give them strength and grace tonight. Jesus, precious name. Father, meet every need. You know the prayers that's been prayed in secret. Lord, you said if we pray in secret, you will reward us openly. We thank you this evening, Lord Jesus. We bless you now. And we ask you will bless us. In the name of Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen. Amen. God bless each one. As a brother comes, God bless you.
I know it wasn't love. I know it wasn't love for me.
Jesus.
I'm.